This is the Best of Public Radio from NHPR. I'm Andrew Perrell, and today we're taking a look at poetry. And it's easy to see poetry as the province of the high school English classroom, governed by the same fusty characters that dominate the canon. But poetry has been rebooted more often than the Spider-Man franchise, and it continues to evolve. Slam poetry is all about finding a voice, combining the written word with a spoken performance to create new forms. A group of New Hampshire slam poets have found a voice and a home in Manchester. NHPR's Brady Carlson talked with some of the members of Slam Free or Die.
Slam poets say they typically get just 3 minutes to perform, so they have to make the words count.
Do you remember that time when the teacher called on you even though you hadn't raised your hand, how he wouldn't call on anyone else no matter how many times you told him that you didn't know the answer? Do you remember that doll with the eyes that stopped opening when you flipped it upright, how your dad couldn't fix it?
That poem is called This Is How I Get. It's by Sam Title, a bearded slam-free or diehard with a tattoo of the word Yates on his arm. Sam used to drive hours from his college campus to perform at the open mic nights and talk with and learn from the other poets afterwards.
Musicians get together and jam. We hang out and we read poems to each other, and we talk about the way that different poems get read. So there is that community aspect to the performance.
That community aspect was hard to find in Manchester not so many years ago, as slam organizer Mark Pallas knows all too well. He came to Manchester looking for a community of writers like the one he'd had at the University of New Hampshire, but all he found was a lot of local talents scattering across New England.
There would be a New Hampshire person on a different state's team, and we kind of said, why are we letting all of our talent go somewhere else? Let's invite them all back home, and let's have our own team.
So he did. In 2006, he started hosting the weekly open mic nights at the Bridge Cafe with a goal of sending a New Hampshire team to the National Poetry Slam. The next year they made it, though team member Mackenzie Fiza-May says Manchester, New Hampshire wasn't exactly on the slam radar.
My favorite New Hampshire joke at the National Poetry Slam is, oh, so you guys are from England, right?
Yeah, people, when we say Manchester, people immediately go, oh, England?
After explaining where they were from, Slam Free or Die proceeded to show who they were. Mark and Sam, who serve as the team's coaches, noticed other teams had to start using their A material to keep up in competition. And Mackenzie, who occasionally needed some coaxing to go on stage when he first started performing, is now winning Slam Master Awards at big events, thanks to poems like this one, a love poem in the persona of Count Dracula.
The first bite was a gift. Teeth burrowed in skin. Your body shaking like a beggar's hands, veins sighing.
This piece called Bloodlust is a Slam Free or Die favorite at the annual Valentine's Day Poetry Night. Mackenzie waxes vampiric at the event. Other poets are romantic. Some just have fun. Last year, one performer wrote a jokingly erotic ode to pudding. Mark Pallas says some poets work all year to find something new to say about love and present it at the Valentine's show. In other words, the event has grown into a big deal. Much like Slam Free or Die as a whole, it's become the community Mark wanted when he moved back to Manchester those years ago. Mark, by the way, has been dubbed the Colonel of Slam Free or Die. As you might expect, the Colonel's poem is a call to arms to keep the community growing and writing and making its mark.
NHPR's Brady Carlson. This year's National Poetry Slam is in August, and Slam Free or Die will be representing again. Here's Mackenzie Fiza-May, a.k.a. the Colonel, and his call to arms.
It went from, why do they call you the Colonel, to, what's slam poetry, to, is New Hampshire really going to have a team, to, you're with the New Hampshire team? Where is that again? If that's how it's going to be, let's own it. The team from nowhere, we've got nothing to lose. Slam Free or Die, we are the heart of the North Beast. Homegrown, a backroom bar rebellion. You won't even see us coming. You can't pick us out of a lineup. We are an open mic militia, citizen soldiers, a notebook army. If our blood is pure granite, how are you going to break us? I grew up hating this hick town. That's why I had to take it by force, hammer it into something worth loving, worth sticking around for, worth coming back to, when the pain of elsewhere threatened to destroy me. With ink as my Excalibur, I set out to retake this unholy land, invited others to stand around my fire. handed out the ammo until people started bringing their own. We had to fight against the silence. What good's a battle without a few explosions? For all the pain this town rained down upon me, for all the years between child and teen and man, I became a leader, not because I ever wanted to be, but because no one ever stepped up to lead me. So now these are my people. This is my city, my soil. I've bled here, buried friends here. And still, why do they call you the Colonel? At this point, if you have to ask, you haven't been paying attention. I am the Colonel of this dark and bloody ground. If you come into my house, you better be ready to bleed. If strength is truth that leaves you feeling hollow, then I am the great big empty. If strength is just pain that you chew and then swallow, I am stronger now than I've ever been. These days, the bullets just seem to slide off me. And I'm not the only one. Slam Free or Die, this is our time. There is a whole world out there that needs to be shaken from its slumber. The presidential primaries say we're first in the nation. Let's prove it. We've got the power in our pens, words dripping from our tongues and stuck between our teeth. Power that could make shock and awe look like a dime store sparkler. So now it's your turn. Who will stand with me? When they ask you what Slam Free or Die has to offer, you tell them we're coming. When they ask you why do they call him the Colonel, you tell them I'm coming. And the poetry of this place and all the people behind it are coming with me.
Well, he's tired of getting up, tired of life, overcome with a desire to come of age. Better step aside for Johnny, cause he's come to take the stage. Oh, take the stage. He's in the territory of poets, moving slow. He's in the territory of moving, but not knowing which way to go.
While poets see, hear, smell, feel, taste poetry everywhere, more and more, the rest of us can find it all around us, too. But we have to keep our eyes open for serendipity. 99% Invisible is a great podcast. You should check it out if you haven't heard of it yet. Roman Mars shared this story.
So I think we were actually, were we on that side?
And this is radio producer Sean Cole in New York City.
This is a reenactment.
We're just going to lay this out the way it happened.
I'm here with my friend Melissa at the Hudson River on the piers where we were almost exactly a year ago, walking along, you know, casually, pretty drunk.
We were.
Drunk, talking about poetry. As you do when it's late and you're in a part of town you've never been before. Spontaneously, Melissa asked Sean to read her a poem.
That one about things being dirty.
By the late, great Frank O'Hara.
Is it dirty?
He'd read it to her before.
Does it look dirty?
He carried that O'Hara book around with him everywhere.
That's what you think of in the city.
Sean's a huge O'Hara fan. They kept walking until finally they wind up in a little plaza.
Now we're at like a plaza.
A plaza framed by two decorative fences with an opening between them. Two fences.
Right.
They hung out there for maybe 20 minutes, not noticing anything.
And I went, there's words.
Actually, I remember it me being, there's
okay,
words.
Fine. It can be you. It's fine.
Words in one of the fences.
I said, like, wait.
Not carved or inscribed into it.
It says something.
But wrought.
Into
the very metal of
the fence. It says City of the Sea.
They go down the length of the fence.
City.
Reading.
Of Wharves.
Word by word.
And Stores. Walt Whitman.
It was a passage from Whitman, another poet Sean loves, and a big influence on Frank O'Hara.
Walt Whitman?
They run back to the beginning of the sentence.
It starts over here.
In the fence. The Fentons.
City
of the world.
Parentheses.
For all races are here.
Comma.
All the lands of the earth make contributions here.
End parentheses.
City of the sea. City of wharves and stores. City of tall
city
facades. Of marble and iron, proud and passionate city.
Passionate city.
Meddlesome.
Mad. Extravagant city.
And there's more. It's Frank O'Hara.
That's right. The second fence is forged into a line by Frank O'Hara. And it goes like this. One need never leave the confines of New York to get all the greenery one wishes. I can't even enjoy a blade of grass unless I know there's a subway handy. Or a record store. Or some other sign that people do not totally regret life.
That people do not totally regret life.
It's from O'Hara's poem Meditations in an Emergency. Sean bent down and scooped his brains up off the concrete.
Poetry is never treated with this kind of permanence, you know what I mean? And O'Hara was always my own little jaunty private Idaho poet who I kept in my shirt pocket and who saw Whitman as, this is not a small point, his great influence. And now they're side by side in a fence. It was just, I don't have words for it, actually.
The Plaza was created in 1989 and credited to four people: Cesar Pelli, Scott Burton, Sia Armajani, and M. Paul Friedberg.
And M. Paul Friedberg? M. Paul Friedberg's office is down the street from my apartment in Manhattan.
Hi. Just looking for M. Paul Friedberg.
Paul Friedberg is really where the kingdom of design and the empire of poetry align here.
I think information should be layered in our environment.
Information
should be layered. Cultural information, it should be layered in the environment, not didactically. It should be an integral part, when I say layered, that if you are interested, you extract it. The idea that you're looking at a fence and yet you walk away with the thought as well. The fence is a barrier. You almost have like a contradiction here. Poetry breaks the barrier. It doesn't stop you. It begins something.
99% Invisible was produced this week by Sean Cole and Melissa O'Donnell. It's a project of KALW and the American Institute of Architects, San Francisco. We are distributed by PRX, the Public Radio Exchange, at prx.org.
Truth is, there are no unlikely places for poetry. Just unlooked-for places. Dan Gorenstein looked into the Rochester Times police log and found more than the expected dull litany of names, dates, and terse descriptions of criminal activity.
Listen to this.
At Halloween upon a street where youngsters go for trick-or-treat, a worried parent calls the cops. His kid's been handed Hall's cough drops. A curiosity has gripped us, cherry mint or eucalyptus.
John Nolan writes the police log and edits the Rochester Times. He's delivered tales of odd and scary behavior for 22 years now. Some of it with his signature puns, some of it in rhyme.
There is a din on Barker Court. It sounds like dropping couches, or demolition, or a fight, replete with oohs and ouches.
Nolan hasn't always written the police log like this. He used to play it straight, reporting crime news that chronicled what happened in Rochester.
Kind of tedious and dreadful. And the editor went on vacation one time, and I was left to my own devices. So it was in the middle of about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I wrote, a dog barks on 10 Rod Road. And I added, deep in the forest a berry drops, because I'd been reading some Japanese haikus, so that was in my mind. And there was all kinds of phone calls after the paper came out, and I had no idea that people read this stuff so religiously. No, they thought it was a code for a drug drop or something. So I thought, okay, we'll give you some more of that stuff.
Generally, people like Nolan's work. People say it's so funny, they actually read the log out loud. Like a long-standing comic, Nolan's got his old gags.
People are always trying to steal ladders in Rochester for some reason or other. And every time a ladder is stolen, police take steps to find it. So that's one of the old classics.
Another is how the police bag shoplifters. Nolan makes sure to pump up his vocabulary. Windows are smashed, not broken. Music isn't turned up, it's cranked. And he loves his puns.
On Winter Street, a lady pushes a gentleman through a window to air a grievance.
The line makes you smile until you think about what actually happened. Was it sexual assault? Was it a break-in? Here's an entry from earlier this month. 2:27 p.m. Someone has gone bananas in a waiting room at Frisbee Hospital. Nolan works with rough material, and not everyone thinks he should make light of it. One reader writes, these are serious issues of concern that shouldn't be a vehicle for entertainment. To a certain extent, Nolan agrees with the sentiment. After 17 years as a Glasgow, Scotland cop, he understands the ugliness of crime. But he says, it's that job that taught him to laugh.
You'd see the very worst of behavior, but it was always lightened a little bit or softened by sort of gallows humor. That's how people get by. They laugh at things.
Nolan points out the humorous bits play a minor role. He wants to do more than make people chuckle. In his own way, Nolan's using crime to tell a larger story about the people who live in the city.
I think you've got to almost take a sympathetic view of the other side of things. You know, if you can soar up above it a little bit and look down at the whole human condition, you can make it all a bit more sympathetic, I think.
Nolan expresses that with powerful sentences that capture moments in still life. 5:47 p.m., with only a crescent moon, teens fight under a streetlight. 1:27 a.m., the people in the raucous Granite Street apartment are at it again, banging on walls and yelling louder than ever. 8:12 p.m., spring has arrived. A bike is stolen from a Charles Street driveway. Nolan thinks one reader nailed it when he described the log as gritty and no-nonsense, but with the self-confidence to poke fun at its own goings-on. I'm Dan Gorenstein.
In a different part of town, there is another cause to frown. Trick-or-treaters all are shocked, for after a man's door is knocked, he answers it not how he should. He keeps appearing in the nude.
So consider this, then, as a warning to keep an eye out for the poetry that surrounds us daily. And here's another warning for good measure, courtesy of Shel Silverstein.
Inside of everybody's nose, there lives a sharp-toothed snail. So if you stick your finger in, he may bite off your nail. Stick it further up inside, and he might bite your ring off. Stick it all the way, and he might bite the whole darn thing off. So that's why always use your handkerchief. That's right. You just take your handkerchief, wrap it around your finger, and jam it up in there. Okay.
I'm Andrew Perella. Special thanks this week to Todd Bookman, Faith Maitzel, Logan Shannon, Zach Nugent, and Jessica Pollock. Best of Public Radio is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.